Good evening, everybody. My name's Judy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Judy.
We're going to try to get ourselves started here tonight. Welcome, everybody, to the Simple Actions group of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to take a second and have a moment of silence, and then we're going to pray together and get on with our meeting, okay? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. The Simple Actions group is based on the simple actions and directions in the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous. We believe that this is the way to recover from alcoholism. And we are meeting tonight, as we do every week, to discuss a step. And we welcome everybody to, after the meeting concludes, to spend a little time together here, and then we have our meeting after the meeting. We have use of this first floor in this room. The restrooms are across the way there, across the lobby, up the steps, and those are the only areas of the church that we are really afforded access to, so we need to honor that. We're going to be talking about step 10 tonight. Need to read the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous.
I don't think the preamble's there, but the...
Oh, that's the thing. Good. Simple Actions Group practices the spiritual foundation of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the disease, from the illness of alcoholism, on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how we have recovered from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. Thank you.
We do read it, but I don't have it.
That's okay. Well, I don't know. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others recover from alcoholism. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Okay.
So we are...
Good job, Jenny.
We're on step 10 tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to Graham.
Thanks, Judy. And we don't have the sheet that we usually use to introduce the meeting, so sorry, we'll have it next week. That's all that's going on. Anyway, tonight we're doing step 10. The Simple Actions Group came out of a bunch of us meeting together and just wanting to try to replicate what we did with people that we sponsored. We go to Starbucks or whatever and just sit down with people and go through the steps with them as a sponsor, sponsee, and we really felt that we weren't hearing a lot of that in the meetings, so we just wanted to really get back to sharing our experience with those simple actions. Judy and I are not experts on the book Alcoholics Anonymous. There's people in here know a lot more about it than we do. We're not here to teach people about the big book. There's other meetings that do that. But what we are going to try and do is share our experience, strength, and hope with this step. So we're only going to read three paragraphs tonight. But believe it or not, and I know you'll find this difficult to believe, Judy and I will have no problem talking for an hour on three paragraphs. Especially me, big mouth here. Anyway, so let's start off. So we're on page 84. And we're just going to start off with this thought brings us to step 10. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, We ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. So that's really step 10 right there in that one little paragraph. And when I got sober in AA, my first sponsor and several sponsors after that as well really encouraged me on a daily basis in the morning to read from that paragraph all the way through to page 89, the first couple of paragraphs of chapter 7, to really encapsulate this idea of steps 10, 11, and 12. So I came into AA. I'm a guy that can't control my drinking. I really like drinking, and I like doing drugs as well. And what happened to me was that once I started drinking, I basically couldn't control how much I drank. I couldn't guarantee my behavior. And then eventually I come out, the blackout, or the money runs out, or whatever happens, I get sober again after the binge is over. I'm a binge drinker, and I just feel absolutely terrible, you know, about the things that I did and the things that I said. I feel so ashamed and all of that. And I determine that I'm not going to behave like that again. I don't say I'm not going to drink again. I just, I'm not going to do that again. That was crazy. And then what happens with me is that's usually on a Sunday or a Monday I'm going through that. And then usually by the Thursday, I'm already drunk with anticipation because I know I'm going out on Friday night. And this time it's going to be different. And I do the whole thing again. And I didn't understand that what was wrong with me was I don't have a drink problem. I was actually drinking to make myself feel better. That's what I was doing. I didn't understand that. The problem's actually me with no drink. The problem is being sober. I don't like being sober. I don't like the way I feel. I don't like you. I don't like people. I don't like myself. I don't really like anything about this deal. You know, I wish I was somewhere else in another time, in another place, in another body even, you know. And but I'm not. I'm here. And I have to seem to live like that. So that's what it's like for me, and booze made that better. So I came into AA, and by this point, I've definitely been making amends. You know, I'm well into step 9, and we read those promises there. There's some better promises coming tonight, I think, but we read the promises in step 9 at the meetings because we're getting something. And people in AA love to hear about what they're getting. I know I do. You know, so that's why we read those promises. But it talks about continuing to take personal inventory and setting right any new mistakes as we go along. Now, what happened to me was when I did that fourth and fifth step, for the first time in my life, I was actually able to see that I was to blame in these situations. I was the guy that always blamed everybody else. No matter what happened, I would blame you. I could steal from you. And in my mind, that was your fault. Well, you should have given me the money anyway. You should have known that I needed money. You know, I used to steal all the time from my long-suffering parents, you know. And in my mind, it was their fault that I was stealing. So the point I'm trying to make is I just blamed everybody my whole life, and I was a huge victim. And the turn really happened in step 4 and 5, and especially in step 9, when I go out and talk to people and make amends to them face-to-face. It's very uncomfortable. But what came out of that was that now I'm aware when I'm resentful. It's not that I'm not resentful anymore, I just know what it is. And if I don't know what it is, I'm going to meetings, I've got a sponsor, and I'm in a home group, and if I'm talking on a daily basis to people about what's going on with me, a helpful AA buddy is going to tell me, "Sounds like you're resentful, Graham." Ah, that's what it is. Okay. And sometimes I can get so resentful that I don't even know I'm resentful. I'm just right. You know? Let's talk about, you know, my boss. I'm actually doing a fourth step right now. And a lot of it's people at work. And they're really screwing me over right now. They're killing me. And that's what I love to focus on. You know? It's embarrassing. I've been sober a long time. This shouldn't be happening to me. You know? I should be real spiritual by now, so, and probably good as well. But anyway, so what it's saying is that when these things crop up, Now at least I'll know that that's what's happening, and that's a good thing. It talks about entering the world of the spirit, and that sounds very mysterious to me. You know, I mean, entering the world of the spirit. What does that mean? We're going to put a cape on, you know, maybe have a shrine and all that. Ooh, the world of the spirit. Really, it sounds like hippies or something. I don't know, but I don't think that's what it's talking about at all. I think this spiritual experience that I've had in AA as a result of taking these actions consistently has been a much more disappointing thing to me. There haven't been any big voices. There haven't been any big bright lights. It's just like I've been able to live sober and deal with things as they crop up, uncomfortable as it may be at times. And then it talks about growing in understanding and effectiveness by practicing these things. I don't really know if I've grown. There's these two things that have been going through my mind a lot recently, and one of them is just this idea of the herd, you know? And I love to paint that picture. We were talking about it on Sunday morning of the, you know, the Serengeti in Africa and the wildebeest. You know, you've all seen that on TV. When they get to the river, those crocodiles are in there. Like, it's just, its eyes are sticking up like that. And the wildebeest are like, they're going up to the edge and nobody wants to go first because they remember last year what happened. You know, you've got a vague memory. But the bottom line is the wildebeest in the middle of the herd never get eaten by the crocodiles. They just keep going. And that's really an image that is important for me to remember, is just to do what the other people in AA are doing. And I think the other thing that I've been thinking a lot about recently is, you know, I love to intellectualize this and overanalyze it and think about this program and understand this program. I love it. I love to be right up here in my head on my own and nobody's allowed in. Don't disturb me, I'm thinking. You know? And really, this guy said this to me years ago and other people have said it to me since. There's really nothing to figure out here. There's just a lot of stuff to do. You know? And I don't like that. I'm like, well, that sounds like I'll have to do something. I just want to sit here and think. So this is really important for me to remember because I almost missed getting sober and I almost missed the simplicity of this program because I was all up in my head trying to understand it and figure it out. And really a lot of this is doing stuff, primarily helping other people. So it says, watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but none of that stuff's gone away in my life. I'm still extremely selfish on occasion, probably on a daily basis. I'm capable of dishonesty. I'll lie to you like that at times, and I'll do stuff that I shouldn't be doing, or I'll lie to myself, you know. But I don't really want anybody to know that because it's kind of embarrassing after all this time that I'm still flawed. And then resentfulness, as I told you, I'm doing a four-step. There's 20 people on there. Nobody in here, by the way. Just one or two. and then fear, you know, and I'm going through fear right now, you know, with my employment situation. A lot of fear, money, you know, all of that stuff really gets it all going. And the wonderful thing is that I can recognize it, and it tells me very clearly what to do. It says when these things happen, because they will happen, when they happen. Number one, it says it in every step, ask God to take it away. So I found myself down on my knees recently saying, God, please, just take my job and all the stuff I think about it and money, just take all of that. Because me worrying about it and getting all wrapped up in it doesn't do any good anyway. So just take that stuff and direct my attention to what you would have me be. You know, and let's get moving. Let's do something today. And then it says discuss it with someone immediately. And what I do is I call a bunch of guys in AA every day. And there's two guys in particular that I can be absolutely honest with. I can tell them anything. And that's very, very important because I'm real judgmental. You know, I can be really judgmental of people. And I've had people in AA before, I've called them up and told them what's really going on, and they're like, oh my God, you shouldn't be doing that. What are you doing that for? You're going to get drunk. You shouldn't be doing that. And they'll be real judgmental. And see if you do that to me, I'm never going to tell you anything again. The next time I call you, I'm going to lie. Yeah, having a great day. I've never had a bad day sober. Yeah, me too. Right? I mean, really, is that what we're doing in here? We're judging each other. We're making people feel bad because they're not perfect. If you want to do that, go at it. But I'm not calling you. And I'm not calling you when my ass is on fire. I need somebody that I can be 100% honest with when I'm doing stuff I know I shouldn't be doing, or I'm not doing stuff that I should be doing. And I can just say, you'll never believe it. And they go, uh-huh. And then I tell them and they're like, yeah, I believe it, Graham. I mean, really. So that's been my experience. I'm sorry it's not St. Graham up here tonight. I remain a flawed person, and I have continued to do things and not do things that have caused me and other people a lot of trouble and pain and sobriety. But I don't believe that means I need to get drunk. And I think it's very, very important that I'm honest with somebody on a daily basis about what's really going on behind the curtain. The part of me that I don't want anybody else to know about, because I love to act and pretend that I'm perfect. I enjoy that. I enjoy convincing you that I've never had a bad day sober and everything's wonderful. And I feel kind of sorry for you because you sound a bit crazy. Yeah. So discuss it with someone immediately. And then this one, make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. This happened to me the other day. I found myself on the phone with a gentleman in AA who had basically not done what I wanted, and I ended up saying some mean things to him on the phone. And that was a long time since I'd spoken like that to anybody. And I couldn't sleep that night. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And you know what? I was able to call him up. I talked to some people about it, and I was able to call him up the next day and just say, listen, man, forgive me. I've known you for 8 years, and I don't know what the hell's going on, but that was an outburst. I should never have said those things. I was wrong, you know? And I was able to hopefully smooth that over and patch it up, and we can be in the same room together. So it's important to take care of these things quickly, if possible, but I don't always do that. And then I love this thing here, and I'm going to shut up after this. We resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Now, AA has become a self-help therapy. I'm going to tell you how I feel, and you guys can all fix me. Yeah? And if I'm feeling really bad, I'll cast some of these magic spell steps. I'll do a step 4 and a step 7. Shazam, boom. Oh, I feel wonderful. It's warm and fuzzy in AA. Are you kidding me? That's what I hear in the meetings all the time. It's nonsense. What it says through and through the book again and again and again. And when I look at the people that are sober longer than me, that I admire their sobriety and I admire the way they're living their life, they're all doing this. What are they doing? They're helping other people. And I'm so selfish that it just doesn't compute, because I want to help me and I want you to help me. And the book says over and over and over and over again, because dummies like me don't get it. You need to help other people. That's what you're supposed to be doing, is helping people. And more than anything else, the steps, the sponsor, a relationship with God, more than any of that, the thing that will ensure me not taking the first drink today is getting out of myself and helping someone else in AA. So if I'm not helping other people in AA, what am I doing? Am I just in here for some sort of free therapy? I don't know. Is that the object? Maybe it is. Because I've done that, and I'm telling you, if I'm not getting out of myself by helping people, I turn in on myself. And I start thinking, oh, I don't feel good. You know, maybe I need some outside help. Yeah, or whatever. Really, that's what happens to me. I've experienced it. And so I really try to impress upon people that I sponsor, even when they're just a few days sober. When you see the newcomer put their hand up at the meeting, you make a beeline over to that guy, give him your phone number, give him a meeting list, offer to help him. Get out of yourself. That's the problem, is I'm all wrapped up in me. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And again, I can't just make myself loving. You know, I can't just get up and say, you know, I'm going to be really loving today. Or I'm going to be really tolerant today. I'm going to make myself tolerant today. It doesn't work. So this seems to become as a byproduct of doing these simple actions. And it really is the whole deal. And this is just so wonderful. We get to hit the reset button every single day. It's just today. And no matter what I did yesterday, maybe I screwed up again, I can hit the reset button. I can take it through this process and and hopefully I can have a better experience tomorrow. Judy?
Right. Yeah, so we're going to continue and set right any new mistakes as we go along. This is a real, as Graham has said, takes the pressure off. You know, you're going to make mistakes. It's not going to be, you've got it all wrapped up. And my pride is such that I really wanted that, I have a goal for all the steps, my personal goal. And my personal goal for the 10th step is I'm not going to have to do this much. But the fact is it's not true. Even right before I came here, I sent an email I should never have sent because I'm very unsettled about it. And I just thought, well, you didn't follow any of the things you know how to do. You didn't wait. You didn't listen. And I had this just little tug, don't say that. But, and behind the tug was, but I think I need to say that. And I sent it. So what I know is these things creep up. You know, my defects of character are not banished. And I'm a human being, and I'm just like everybody else walking the planet, and I have feelings that get hurt, and I'm very self-centered. You know, my first sponsor used to say to me, I'd say I'm very sensitive. She says, we call that self-centered in AA. So every time I'd say, I'm very sensitive, she'd just repeat that to me. I stopped saying I was sensitive. And I got unsensitive as time passed. And what she taught me to do is very much along, is a result of this step. She, once I could identify clearly, and I too, I had the, you know, I kept sitting in AA meetings thinking, oh, I'm going to do a four step in my whole life and a fifth step and my, everything's going to be great. And everything wasn't. I walked out of there and I was just baffled. I wasn't really sure what happened. I didn't know how I was supposed to feel. It was years went by and things that happened in that fifth step came clear to me. Mm-hmm. It took years for that to happen. And so there's a whole lot of, you know, this is not a run at the game, you know, get the ball in the slot and you're done. It just isn't. This is a way of life, and this step is the fabric of my life. So I'm going to stop here so we can go on to the next one, but I am going to say this because this was a complete revelation to me. My current sponsor, when we were reading this and I had done my fifth step with her, said to me, love and tolerance of others is our code. She says that to me quite a bit. Others, even those to whom we believe have harmed us. That means I have to practice love and tolerance of those people that I think have harmed me, which is very difficult. And I know absolutely of myself I cannot do that. I am absolutely a case of myself I'm nothing. I have to have, you know, even coming in here tonight after I did that, I just said to God, okay, get this off of me because I can't focus, I can't be where I am if I'm going to keep running this around in my mind. Mm-hmm. I have to give this up. So, anyway, I'm going to stop there because I think we've covered it pretty good. Go ahead.
And we've ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky, nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And this idea of not fighting anything or anyone, I think that really permeates the steps. I was talking to some guy about some step, I think it was step 4 or maybe step 9, and I was like, don't argue, don't retaliate, you know, and I'm such an arguer and I'm such a retaliator. I want to defend my position. And it's just saying, Graham, just stop doing it. And the crazy thing is that this just comes. I'm not hiding away from booze. Sanity. I always thought that was the crazy things I did when I drank. I thought it was those wild nights, you know, which we all have a bunch of, I'm sure. We could bore you to death with them. But those crazy, wacky things that happened when I drank. And that wasn't the insanity at all. The insanity was that I would justify picking up the first drink the next day or the next weekend. After what alcohol did to me, it's insane for me to drink alcohol, but I do it every single time. And just like that thing that stops me putting my hand on the hot stove, after I've, at this point in the steps, the part of my brain that should protect me from something that injures me, in this case alcohol, has been restored. And it wasn't me that did it, it was the steps that did it. And now when the thought of alcohol comes into my mind, I get frightened. I'm like, oh my God, you know? And that's what happened at the start. And now if the thought of alcohol comes into my mind, it's not even I want to drink. It's just maybe a passing thought of alcohol. I just call somebody and tell them right away. And it's never really been a problem other than that. It's a new attitude. And the final thing I'll say is, you know, over the years, I've... just like everybody else who's in AA, over the years I've sponsored a lot of people and I've known a lot of people in Alcoholics Anonymous in different countries. And I have to tell you this, if guys do the steps, just like if I practice these steps the best I can and perfectly, the obsession to drink is removed and they don't drink. It's incredible. And these are people like me who couldn't stay stopped on their own. They couldn't do it. They were failures. And I'm seeing it happening right now. These guys are like, yeah, man, I couldn't go one day without a drink. And they haven't drank for years. It's incredible. It really is incredible. This actually works. Oh, my God. It actually works. And there's people in this room who haven't had to drink for over 3 decades. And those were people that couldn't stay stopped on their own. But I have to keep doing it. So this is really, these are the promises. It's not about drinking, but it's all about drinking, right? Judy.
Okay. Yep, so I had the same, it's my same experience. You know, it wasn't drinking that was the problem, it was being sober. I really could only stay sober for short periods of time because I couldn't stand it. I was so uncomfortable. And some days I get in the elevator at work and I go, this explains why I drank. Because I don't have any defense, not only against the first drink, but I don't have any defense against the world. You know, I'm like an open wound. That's how I described myself when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. That's how that felt. Like I was just an open wound. And I was just walking around just trying to, you know, defend myself from whatever was coming at me. And, of course, all this was going on in my mind. This is a mental illness. And then on top of the mental illness, there's all you people out here acting badly. And makes me uncomfortable. So there's both those things are going on. And I have to have a defense against that. And my defense was alcohol. And then when alcohol stopped working as a defense for me, then I was faced with, you know, I'm either going to die an alcoholic death or I'm going to do this and recover from this illness. So, I remember standing in the parking lot at one of the early meetings that I was going to and having these women give me their phone numbers and I was so arrogant. I said, so you're going to tell me not to drink? Really? That's what you're going to do? I can do that. And what I didn't understand at the time was that action, that process of picking that phone up, dialing the number. Of course, when I got sober, we had a... And dialing the phone and waiting for the person to answer. And that whole process of doing that changed my life. Not what they said to me, as much as doing that and having them pick the phone up and them talking to me and giving me some other place to go than where I was between my ears. And then when I got off the phone, they usually had given me some direction to take. And I could do that, and I was okay until I got to my next meeting. So how does that play out today? So now I have a network of people, sponsor, and a network of people that I can talk to and say, gee, this is what I did today. Mm-hmm. This is what, you know, like I just described that email. This is how I put myself in a defenseless position. This is how I set the ball rolling. This is how I, and for years in my life, I could not see that I was causing that to happen. I'm just painfully aware of it today. So much so that I listen a lot better than I did today most of the time. Mm-hmm. Because it's so acute. I am so stone cold sober that when I do something like that, it has a huge impact on me. Thank God. So that's the cease fighting, you know, stop fighting immediately. So I'm going to stop fighting. So I will inventory this thing that drove my will today, and I will come to back to God and ask Him to take it off of me and help me walk forward. The other thing, my second sponsor taught me this prayer. When you have something on you really bad like this, and this is part of the cease fighting, she would say to me, no matter what has happened today, whatever conclusion you're reaching about the impact of what's occurred, can you ask God to cover what you've done, what's in front of you, what's behind you? Can you ask Him to just cover that? And I've said that prayer many, many, many times. And I've walked into the next day, and it's all different. You know, whatever I thought was going to happen or how whatever impact I thought I was going to have, it's just like removed, or things got shifted, or people get removed from the path. It's amazing to me. And so I always have used that prayer, because what it does is it's just like picking that phone up. It makes me stop fighting. Stop fighting. Because there really is a power greater than myself. I really have been relieved of this desire to take a drink, absolutely relieved of it. I rarely think about alcohol except when we're in an AA meeting talking about it, or I'm talking to a newcomer, or somebody is it's a wet drunk. You know, then it like comes back on me pretty strong, but not a desire to take a drink, a desire to stay sober. And when I came to AA, I absolutely thought it was going to be impossible for me to get sober. I could not, I could stop for periods of time. I could not make it stop. And I couldn't stop because of what my head was doing. If you were between my ears, you would have to drink. I mean, I had to drink. There was no getting around it. I had to be unconscious somehow. And that was my way. So today, when my life gets on me, I have to stop fighting. That's the answer.
Okay, I'm going to read the last paragraph for tonight. It's just on page 85, right there in the middle. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. And it's easy, so that means I'm going to do it. I don't like difficult things. I like easy things. Is that just me? I mean, come on. If it's easy, let's do it, baby. If it's difficult, nah. I don't want to do that. Sucks. So, it says it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. So I'm somebody that has vast experience on letting up on the spiritual program of action. Now, I've said this before a bunch of times, but I don't even know if it's true. But I'm just going to say it again anyway. I think laurels are like, it's a plant, and they used to make the, when the Greek Olympians would win, they would make that little thing that goes on their head and put it on their head. So I think it, the analogy here that the guy that wrote this is trying to use, I think, is, you know, I just ran a marathon and I won and I got this thing like a crown, a prize. And now I just sort of put it to the side, just lie back and don't do anything. And that's exactly what Judy was saying. This, it's not done. Really, I've just begun. And really the reason I did the 9 steps, well, the reason I did it was to feel better. But the reason that they wanted me to do that was so that I'm now ready to help other people. That I'm now going to be more effective at doing that. Helping other people that can't stay stopped on their own. And when they drink, it's crazy town. That's the guys I can help, those guys. If you can stop drinking, sayonara, baby, there's the door. I'll see you later. I can't really help you. I don't understand that. I can't stay stopped on my own. And once I start drinking, it's nutso. So those are the guys I'm looking for. But anyway, lighting up on the spiritual program of action. I went through the steps in 2 or 3 months with my first sponsor, and then I was kind of done. I kept going to the meeting because there was a girl there that I was trying to get to know a bit better. And as I've shared many times, her sponsor told her to stay away from me. I mean, what's that all about? I'm a nice guy. Anyway, she did stay away from me, but that was something that kept me coming back for a while, and there you go. But I really let up on the steps and all that sort of stuff, helping people, cut back on meetings somewhat, and really what happened was I got to experience alcoholism sober. It's very, very, very uncomfortable, and I did manage to stay sober, And then after a while, I'd got sober in Japan, and I moved back to Scotland, and then I sponsored myself for a while there. That was very painful. You know, I had a sponsor, but I didn't really bother to call the guy or tell him what was going on, because he would judge me. So I'd just tell him, like, the highlights of my week. Yeah, I'd give him, like, an AA report. I went to 4 meetings this week. I talked to 3 newcomers. I called 2 people at the AA checklist. But I'm not telling them that I didn't bother going into work 2 days and I'm you know, $3,000 in debt. And I'm not telling them any of that stuff. Just tell them the AA stuff. Because then he'll think I'm good. And that's what this is all about, being good, right? So, you know, that has happened. And then, but what I want to talk about is getting distracted from AA. And this really happened to me when I got married and had children. And I'm married now, I've got 2 children, they're 6 and 3 years old. And the first child, I was able, because I'm somebody that has been pretty active in AA. I go to quite a lot of meetings and I try to help people and I tend to be in a home group and try to be active because I believe that that's what's going to keep me sober. And when the second child was born and he had all these health problems, I really noticed my participation in AA falling away. I didn't stop going to AA, and then I got this job, and the next thing you know, it's very difficult to get to meetings. And I did keep going to meetings, but it becomes very difficult. And what I didn't realize, fortunately for me, there was a bunch of guys around me, longer sober, who were able to tell me, Graham, this is what happens to guys like you. The fruits of staying sober, the job and the family, are the things that end up getting you drunk. Because that's a bulletproof excuse. I've got a brain-damaged kid at home. I can't come out. I can't go to the meeting. My kid's sick. He had another seizure. I can't come. You know? I can't come to the meeting. I have to work tonight. I have to hold this job down and make this money. We've got a mortgage now. I just can't come. I'm sorry. I can't sponsor you, I'm sorry, I'm just really, really busy. I'm working 65 hours a week, I've got 2 kids, sorry man. Maybe David could help you. Well, no, not David, but yeah. You know what I mean? That's what starts happening. And we want to sit in here and, hold hands and chant and all that, just feeling great. But here's the bottom line that nobody likes to talk about. The well-worn path in AA is to leave AA. That's what happens to most people. They leave AA, they don't stay in AA, and they don't stay sober the rest of their lives one day at a time. They leave. They come in here, things get good, and their ass goes out the door. And, you know, my best friend left AA for 10 years, got sober in Norfolk. And when he came back to Norfolk, 10 years, didn't go to a meeting, didn't drink, came back to the meetings, and he was horrified because he's going to the same churches, the same time, the same meetings, and he realizes after a week there's about 5 people there that were there 10 years before. And the rooms are full of people. And nobody thinks that's going to happen to them. I don't think it's going to happen to me, because I'm a big deal. But that's what happens to people like me, to alcoholics. I forget. I get distracted. So that's what I'm talking about, resting on my laurels. My life's good now. I don't need to do that stuff anymore. I don't need to make amends anymore to people I've hurt in sobriety. Why should I do that? I'm not going to humble myself. Are you kidding me? Anyway, so I think that's very important for me to remember. I love talking about that. It's, you know, I'm sure it's like Debbie Downer or whatever. I don't care. That's what I see happening. So I want to keep talking about it to remind myself that that mustn't happen to me, because I really need to stay sober today. I really need to stay sober one day at a time the rest of my life. There's so much on the table now. Life is so wonderful sober. I don't want to jeopardize it by getting distracted. So I need to get that into my head. I only have the wife, the kids, and those beautiful little children and those wonderful cuddles and all that stuff that I just love. And my long-suffering wife who stands by me no matter what I'm talking about. Can you imagine living with me? Oh, my God. Wow. Anyway, you know, and my employer and whatever. I only get to do that because I'm in AA. Duh. And then I start not going to AA. Are you kidding me? No. So I can't emphasize that strongly enough. I really need to be reminded of that all the time. And then it talks about carrying God's will into all of my activities. How can I best serve you? Your will, not mine, be done. And I think the book just tries to remind me over and over and over again. My delusion is that I'm actually God. Don't tell anybody, but that's really what I think. I think that this is all just here for my pleasure, to move around like some sort of game. And it's nonsense, but that's how I behave a lot of the time. But usually when my ass is on fire, that's when I get real willing to say, God, I've kind of made a mess of my job situation. I wonder if maybe I could give it to you and you could kind of sort it out. I might need a new one.
That's the answer always.
Yeah, but the 2 years I had the job, it's like, God, yeah, whatever. Got it down here. Oh, my goodness. So it says that these thoughts should go with me constantly. And by this time in the steps, you know, I grudgingly came to believe in a power greater than myself. And when I see it as related, as inseparable from my attendance and participation in AA, you know, it's not something I experience really anywhere else. I only experience it here. And, you know, I have to tell you, I last week, I was just so up in my head and so full of myself and so frazzled that I just went to a whole bunch of meetings last week. And guess what? I really just calmed down. And I really calmed down and I thought, you know what? Everything's okay. What it is I'm waiting for to happen has already happened. It happened years ago. You know, there is a God, it's not me. God's in my life. Everything's okay. It just doesn't seem like that to this. But actually, everything's okay. And that's what these meetings do. They really calm me down. And they center me again back in the great reality. And the great reality is that being sober is much better than drinking. The great reality is I have friends today and I never had any friends before. And the great reality is that there is a God. And apparently, there is a God. There's a lot of evidence in my life that there is a God. There's a lot of people in this room that are horrible, nasty alcoholics, and they're sober. So you better believe there is a God, and that God's doing for me what I can't do for myself right now at this moment, even if I don't believe it. So there. And that's what I need to be reminded of. You know, that's really what's going on here. So I'm going to shut up now, and it talks about, you know, using my willpower to remind myself about that fact that I've never had it so good, and that Alcoholics Anonymous has saved my bacon again. And so it's probably better for everybody if I just keep coming here and taking these simple actions. Join a home group, get a sponsor, do the bloody steps, say some simple prayers, and reach out to people and try to help them. Reach out to alcoholics in AA and try to help them. No matter how long I've been sober, I can always do that. Judy?
Okay. Yep, so alcohol is a subtle foe. A lot of times we hear a lot about people repeating that this other sentence. We have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. I don't want to get too caught up in my analysis of what my maintenance of my spiritual condition is, because I can go all off into some, you know, grand design on that. So I really focus in on the fact that alcohol is a subtle foe, and I have these tendencies. And I had one of my sponsors used to say to me, you got to watch the road signs. Of course, she always said these things to me. I'm like, what does that mean? Watch the road signs? I don't get it. She'd say, there's road signs along the path that the light has been shined on by the other people in Alcoholics Anonymous. You have to watch them. So when you write an email, you don't send it. That's the road sign. biggest day. You know, you don't do that right away. You know, you're a little stirred up. You don't do that. So this is the subtlety of alcoholism. And I know I'm the same way as Graham. If I something magical, absolute miracle happens to me when I go to a lot of meetings, my whole personality changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been like that. Every sponsor I've had has said to me, oh, you must have gone to a few extra meetings this week. You sound like a different person. Because I, in fact, am. You know, I do have a mental illness. And I have, you provide me the ability to not kill you, kill me, you know, or hold myself up in my house, which is my, you know, that's what I want to do. One of those three things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always very subtle, you know. Well, I won't go to that meeting tonight because I do have these other things, you know, as you're describing. And then, you know, I get in there with my bathrobe on the couch and think, boy, this is great. This is great. There's nobody here. There's nobody bugging me. Nobody wants anything from me. I'm staying here. And I think I've found the solution. And but it's like little bit by little bit, what I've found is the door to hell. Then I got my hand on it, and I'm turning it ever so slightly. And then all of a sudden, in a week or so, or 2.5 weeks, I'm like, want to kill myself. Because I am very depressive by nature. I absolutely have got to be with you. If I'm not with you, I'm not okay. If I'm not thinking about you and how I'm going to help you and what about that problem they got and how are we going to, you know, walk through this, and if I'm not doing that, I'm in trouble. So, and I forget. I forget that my job is not my purpose. I forget that my daughter's not my purpose. You know, I get up there and I was there just recently, and, you know, I have this nice little, they have a little basement room. It's a very small room. There's not a lot of things in it. It's very simple. I like that. There's a bathroom right there. I'm like, I could live here. I could live right here. I want to live here. Could I fix that? Could I make it so I live here and I don't have to do my life? And this is alcohol. This is the subtleties of alcoholism. It just plays very softly. You know, plays on me and plays on me and plays on me. So if I'm not watching the road signs, I'll take a wrong turn, and then one day I wake up and I go, how in the hell did I get here? And I did that a lot in my early sobriety, a lot more than I do it now. Mm-hmm. And I would always call my sponsor and say, you know, it's just like that description of pounded on, you know, in earlier in the book, pounded on the bar, going, oh my God, I did it again. That's how subtle this mental deal is, this spiritual emptiness. If I'm not addressing that spiritual emptiness, all that means is, you know, he uses big words here, reprieve, contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. It means every day you wake up, you don't have it. So you better get it. On your knees is where you get it. Reading the book is where you get it. Calling the next person, talking to your sponsor, doing whatever the directions the road signs say to do. And that's it. That's how simple this is. When I got sober enough to know how simple this was, I was embarrassed. Embarrassed myself. My gosh, I mean, I've been fighting this all this time and complaining and all that. So, okay. And then I want to say this about God's will, because this tripped me up terrible for years. To carry the vision of God's will. Like, I have the power to have the vision of God's will. Really? Who are you? I don't know what God's will is. I have no idea. So how can I carry the vision of his will into all my actions? So this is what my experience is. The vision of God's will is for me to be placing myself in a surrendered condition, so that God can move me into his will. I don't have the vision of God's will and then go walk into it. The steps prepare me, the work with you, everything that I do in Alcoholics Anonymous puts me in a state of surrender so that God can move me. I mean, that was said to me over and over and over, and I'm like, I don't know what you're saying, I don't understand, I don't know why you keep saying this to me. And just say, go to another meeting and don't call me after. Anyway, so I have to accept that I don't know God's will. I don't know God's mind. I can't know God's mind. I am not on parity with God. I am here to be of service to God, which means I have to fit myself to be in a condition to be of service, which means I can't be all wrapped up in myself. I can't be all caught up in my resentments and who I need to make amends to and who I'm going to kill next. And, you know, all that has to be gone, because without that, I have no hope of being involved in God's will. Now, I'm going to say this and confuse everybody. It is God's will that I do that, that I get in that confused place, because I have to know, I have to be able to know this isn't where I'm supposed to be. You know, I have to know there's road signs. I have to know I missed the road signs. So that statement in the book, earlier in the book, that says nothing happens in God's world by mistake, I have to remind myself of that an awful lot. You know, because I cannot, my vision of what's happening is not what I think should be happening, ever. I just want to tell you that. I'll just have to be honest. It's never what I think should be happening. Mm-hmm. So I have to surrender that and give that up and stop fighting that. And then the last thing I want to say is about this constantly. There's a good reason that they use this word constantly. And they mean, the writers of the book meant that, constantly. That means I can't stop. I can't stop doing that. I have to keep doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it. And my sponsors used to say to me, your level of commitment to this is, you know, there's some statement in the book earlier about, oh God, I can't remember it now, but something about peace and surrender. Anyway, there's a relationship there. And the more surrendered I am, the more at peace I will be, even in the state of upheaval in my life. And that absolutely is true, because honestly, my life is always in a state of upheaval. I could go to work tomorrow and lose my job. I could, you know, my financial system situation could change. I could go into bankruptcy. That could happen to any of us. I have to be okay with that, no matter what. And I've been through enough situations in my sobriety where I thought, okay, this is the end, and it wasn't. But I did, I watched the road signs and I did what they told me to do. I mean, I'd like to talk about it, but I can't. There's not enough time. But just a lot of situations that
that I could have said, justified to somebody outside of Alcoholics Anonymous, that was a justified reason for drinking. That was a reason for giving up. And they have told me from the day I walked in here, you don't drink no matter what, you don't give up. You don't give up, I don't care how you feel, I don't care what you think, you keep walking. You pick that phone up until you can walk some more. And whoever's standing with you will walk with you. And if you turn your back on that, you're a fool. I'll just all in there. Okay. Let me say this, get good. When we talked about getting good, what does get good mean? It means I got what I wanted. So if you get what you want, you better watch out. That's what I always say. Oh my God. Thanks a lot, but all right. So we got to close this up. We're going to pass these baskets. This is for the seventh tradition. This money supports the use of this space and our coffee. And the service structure of Alcoholics Anonymous, the Tidewater Intergroup Council, the district, Norfolk District, the Virginia Area Committee, and the General Service Board and Office Committee, General Service Committee. So, announcements. Let's do announcements. Sir.
Hi, David.
And this group, the Simple Actions Group, on April 1st in this room, Graham's holding up the flyer. We're going to have another supper and a speaker event. Oh, that's right. We put flyers in the chairs as well. It's going to be 6 o'clock potluck. Please feel free to bring a dish. And at 7 o'clock, Christy E. from Richmond is going to come down and tell her harrowing tale of alcoholism. So it's going to be fun. It's an open meeting. It's open to everyone. Bring Al-Anons. It's fine. April 1st, right here in this room, 6 p.m. potluck, 7 o'clock speaker. Home group members, everybody, feel free to take some of these flyers up on the table. There's a whole stack of them. Take them back to other groups and announce that for us and invite people. That'd be great. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Anybody else with announcements? Yes, sir.
My name is Donald. The Launchmont group of Alcoholics Anonymous is celebrating their 82nd anniversary. Starts at 6:30. It's at the Launchmont Methodist Church on Holly Avenue, about 2 blocks before we get to Hampton Boulevard. And they have Vivian Kelly, who's been set up 40 more years as their speaker. She's in the lines. And she's just as alert as anyone as well. In the middle 90s. So she's from the original downtown group that started in 1947.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else with an announcement? What else? Is that it?
You talk about going out after the meeting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Meeting after the meeting at Bella Pizza. Please join us, all of you, if you can. We'd love to have you.
It's $5 pizza night.
$5 pizza, right.
Even if you don't have any money, you can still take a slice from someone's pizza.
Absolutely. It's free reign on the stealing the slice.
Yeah, please come. It's fun.
And if you want to take a minute after here, please feel free to chat while we're getting the room straight. Anything else?
Our newcomers.
Oh, do we have anybody that's new to Alcoholics Anonymous? Yes, sir.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Welcome.
Welcome. We're home. Oh, yes, sir.
Hi, Trey.
Hey, Trey, welcome.
Hi,
hey,
Darren.
Welcome. Well, welcome to you new folks, and please come out and eat with us. We are a home group. If you'd like to join this home group, the Simple Actions home group, please see one of the home group members here. And sponsorship is really important. We all believe in it. We all have them. And if you would like to ask one of us to be your sponsor, anybody who would be willing to do that, please raise your hand. All these willing sponsors. I think that's it.
Let me read to the.
Oh, right, right. Okay. So, 164. Very good. You ready? Okay, Mary Jo, go.
Start our book.
164, yep.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you than to us. And ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we're going to say a prayer together and we'll close.
Thanks, Judy. That was great.
See, I have to have instructions before you.
No, I'm not. She's memorized the preamble. Thank God.
After 26 years of hearing it. Not much of an accomplishment, really. John, would you like to lead us out?
Sure. Our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power,